Good morning. It's 9:03. You know that means little to those listening on thesanspur.org as a podcast, but we are live.
We are live.
WPRK Winter Park, Florida.
My name is Amir Sadeh. I'm the co-host. Hi.
And I'm Greg Golden. I'm also co-hosting. But today we have a few topics
Many a topic.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was a few.
No, we have a lot. We have a lot to cover.
All right. That's good. We are starting out with news a little bit close to home with what's going on with WPRK. And we have Casey Cords, the station manager, in the studio.
Woo-woo!
Hello.
What's up?
What's going on?
And then after that, we'll be talking a little bit about finals.
All the finals, all the fun.
The recent news of Rollins being voted some sort of party school.
Party down, boogie woogie.
News to me. And then talk a little bit about some summer trips that are going on that students are involved in, notably one in the Dominican Republic.
The Dominican Republic, folks.
And then we'll talk a little bit about being graduated.
Yes, and actually that'll also be close to home because I will be interviewing my wonderful co-host about his post-grad career.
Yes. So
it's going to be fun.
Since Casey is in the studio, we're going to start with WPRK.
Yes.
And there's been some turnover, some changes in the ways that the station has been running in the past. If you could just let our listeners know, what are just some of these changes that are making things a little bit different?
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to explain first to our listeners how the station has run in the past.
Yes.
Well, usually, typically, I've been here for 4 years now, actively involved in the station on the executive board for 4 years, and what it's become is kind of this thing where students really just run the station. You've got your student DJs like yourself, Amir, and you've got community member DJs, we've got a few alum DJs, a couple staff, and faculty. And then you've got the students who kind of do all the behind-the-scenes work. We have an executive board that consisted of a station manager, assistant station manager, promotions director, programming director, production director, all this good stuff, business director, music director, all that good stuff. And then you've got coordinators who are other students who are probably just getting involved, who want to be on the executive board one day, working within each executive board member's department. And together, the executive board would make the big decisions about what goes on at WPRK, you know, any big changes going on, and then also elections, electing a new staff that comes in. So what it's changed to now, and first, I'd like to thank Rollins and the administration and the president and the board of trustees for not selling the station. I know it's been a topic of conversation before. It's probably seemed like a very appealing
and lucrative.
Yeah, definitely. I know there's been offers and things like that, but they haven't sold us, which is great. So I want to say thank you for that. But what's kind of changed now is that the students last semester, we've been wanting a general manager who just focuses WPRK and nothing else for quite some time. And last semester, you know, there was finally a search and they found one and we were all very excited, and now it kind of seems like there's just no transparency in what's going on with the station. Students who have been involved for 4 years, like myself, or three, or two, or whatever, don't really know what the future is, and it's frightening, because sometimes we're told one thing, sometimes we're told the other. There's nothing written down, there's no business plan. The only thing I can say is that we have been told by multiple people, our manager, administration, that, you know, it's not a student-run organization anymore. And all big decisions will be made by the general manager, and students basically just work here. So it's made a lot of students not want to work here, including myself, kind of feeling like we're just task managers, that we're being used for our labor, no real say in anything. Even our elections of the new staff, it's now going to be an interview hiring process. So it's made a lot of us very uncomfortable, and many of us have decided not to come back next semester or to simply quit, resign, Or younger students are now saying that they're not going to even try to be on the executive board next year, which is also pretty disheartening.
Right. And so what was, in the past, the way that students showed interest and then proceeded to get a position? How did that operate?
Really just showing up and helping out. And, you know, the staff down here was usually here all the time, so we could kind of notice, like, who has been around and, you know, the people asking questions and, you know, shadowing you on whatever projects you've got going on and showing up to all the meetings, things like that, like any other club, really, or any other student organization. And eventually you just run for something and hopefully you get elected.
Right. And what are some changes that listeners might experience if things are going the way that they seem?
For listeners, I don't know. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Usually when you're restructuring an organization, you kind of write it down and share that plan with everyone involved. And that's what we've been lacking. So students are already kind of taken out of making these good decisions for the station or things like that, and we're just wondering what's next, what's going to happen next, because no one has any idea. I don't want to speculate and say some of the rumors that I've heard or some of the things that I've been told, you know, verbally, but you never know what could happen.
Right. There were some published quotes from the Rollins PR department and from the general manager in different media outlets about the only change being in remote control of the transmitter. What do you make of those claims?
I'm sure they're very honest claims. I do not think that they reflect the true issue here. The real issue is that this is no longer a student-run organization. And then there have been certain people saying, well, it is still a student-run organization. So which one is it really? And why were we sat down in a meeting being told, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you 3 months ago, this isn't a student organization anymore. The quotes about automation, things like that, I think that kind of rooted from a few posts on Facebook by some heated DJs saying, like, oh, I hope this whole station doesn't turn into automation. But that wasn't really the issue.
Okay.
So I think media kind of got off topic with that.
Gotcha. And in the way that the Rollins PR were able to address that as sort of a vague change that was going on.
Yeah.
Rather than sort of reflecting the real concerns that were
present. And the students who are still involved or not involved and I, we kind of came up with our list of concerns not too long ago, and we sent that over to the Board of Trustees with our SGA president. And hopefully that's going to be talked about with the Board of Trustees at some point in time, because they are very important concerns that we have. This is a station that's been around for, 61 years almost?
Right.
And we've got community listeners, alum listeners, student listeners. We've got all sorts of people involved, and it's a staple in the community. I've figured that out the past 4 years here, how important WPRK is to the Orlando community.
Right. And do you feel like there's any compromise that can be made with the current staff and the way in which the station looks like it's heading?
Definitely. I mean, we do have three kind of, I don't want to say demands, but demands that we want to make. I think they're a real compromise, actually. One of them being, you know, creating a board. If we do have a general manager who the school says he's going to have all final words at the station, you know, all final decisions and everything, well, we want a board consistent of, you know, a student staff member who's been around for a while, a new student staff member, a student DJ, community listener, a faculty member, you know, things like that, that can meet monthly and talk about, well, what are the changes that the general manager is proposing? You know, where's the future of the station at? What's the structure? Like, just having that open conversation and keeping communication open within the station. That's one demand that we have. Another one is that something be written down about the future of WPRK and about our organizational structure. And the third is that students always have a say in how the station's going to be run.
Right. And then those were submitted to the Board of Trustees?
Yeah. That, along with a list of other certain concerns, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Do you feel like the story is told? What else
is there
might
any
our
final
listeners
words you'd like to add?
You know, it's the students have really it's a pretty sad thing because for the past 4 years that I've been here, students have really carried the station on their back. It's something you get credit for. It's not something that most of the students get paid for. And for the past 4 years, it's been tough. We went through, you know, an FCC violation, being off the air for a week, and students were the ones that brought the station back after that week. And now to be told by administration, well, you've got no say in anything anymore, you just work there. It's a sad place, and to be here and to see the, you know, working 4 years here trying to get more students involved and then hearing students say, I no longer want to be involved, and me completely sympathizing with them. It's a sad place to be in, and I just, you know, I'm just urging the community members, the listeners, everyone, students, to just write in and tell us what you love about WPRK, whether it's the programming or the way the stations run. Send it in. Send it into WPRK. Send it into our general manager. Send it into the school administration. Yeah, because I think our listeners' voices should be heard. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and what do we got for our listeners now, Amir?
We're going to start with an oldie, very classic, a staple. Naked Eyes, Always Something There to Remind Me.
Take reminds me of just how it used to be.
All right. We thank Casey again for joining us. And thank Amir for those lovely tunes.
Hey, don't thank me. Thank the Naked Eyes.
Thank you, Naked Eyes. So, you got a finals?
I got a finals.
You got a finals.
Actually, I got multiple finals. I think they called final eye in the natural kingdom.
It's like a
fungi
Latin.
You know, a
some
bit.
Latin action
some
in there.
Latin action. But in all seriousness, yes, I and the good majority of my fellow Rollins patrons have something called finals. That is the barrier between a luscious, wonderful, and fun-filled summer.
Tasty summer.
But yeah, starting on Thursday, up until next Tuesday.
That seems like the exam schedule to me.
That is the exam schedule. Although, blessed be Duncan's name, we have Wednesday as our reading day.
I do like that.
Yes, that is one wonderful thing about Raleigh Collie, that we do have one day in separation of the end of the semester and the beginning of finals to be like, hey, study or don't study, depending on how you want to roll, but knowing that after Wednesday, it hits the fan.
And then you got the that weekend in right there.
Yes, which also gives a nice way to separate in between exams and life. You know, a little bit of time to de-stress before you have to re-stress one final time.
De-stress, huh?
De-stress, yes. We did mention this during the midterm
yes.
season, but it is ever more crucial now during finals to learn how to de-stress, but not tune out.
Ooh.
Much like in radio.
It's like, hold on loosely, but don't let go.
Yeah. Because if you hold too tightly,
I think
you're
it's cling too tightly.
You're going to still lose control. Either way.
Trouble.
Troubles. I knew these finals were trouble when they walked in.
Ooh.
A la Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Well, so when it comes to finals, folks, it is a difficult time because, especially for my lovely seniors and juniors and everyone alike, it's like, look, I'm almost there. I'm done. I don't even care anymore. I just turned in that child study paper that was 50 pages, and I really don't care what grade I get anymore. Sounds a little bit too close to home. It is. But, no, you get to that point where you're just like, I need to get out of here. I'm done. I don't want to study. I just want to party. I want to have fun with friends. And folks, as much as I hate the academic system, and in the sense that it's run, your biggest portion of your grade, or a huge chunk of it, is put on one exam.
Yeah.
Usually 15% to 20%. And it happens. It is, unless we have a major academic revolution, that's unfortunately not going to change by this Thursday. So,
yeah.
What do you do? Until a major Che Guevarian-like revolution occurs. Tips to get through finals. Tips like very much like midterms, but
now you've perfected them.
And you've perfected them.
You had midterms to mess around with what works.
You were like, yeah, maybe this. Finals are where it's at. Finals,
yeah.
And you have not just spring break to think of. No, folks, you have the big one.
Yeah.
The four-monther summer vacation. May, June, July, August.
Yeah, just checking your math right there.
4 months, yeah.
Yep.
Maybe three and some change, but, you know.
A lot of change.
So, biggest things, of course, I mean, we've somewhat talked about it beforehand, but you got to get into that mindset. Organization. You need to know, even if you just take today, just take 5 minutes, go to the Rollins website, check out your exam schedule. That's
easy.
Always an important thing because you don't want to have to study for 10 hours the night before, oversleep, and realize, oh, crap, my exam was at 8 a.m. and I woke up at 11.
When my class usually is.
Exactly.
See,
that's what happens. It is a
tricky
thing.
They try to get you.
Try to get you because you're like, oh, yeah, I take so-and-so class at 11 o'clock. That's when my exam is 9.
It's probably at 9.
It probably is, folks.
And that schedule is also published on the back of this week's Sanspur.
It is. So, lovely Sanspur.
If you pick that up, you'll be set.
I would suggest, yes, I would suggest picking it up and looking at it and being like, snap, these are when my exams are. I should study. Or, oh, snap, they're not until Monday. I can party it up
and
until
then study.
Sunday.
Yeah.
And then study on Sunday. Also, a difficult thing that isn't necessarily as much of an obstacle as in midterms was, is it's much more difficult to buy comfort food if you have no meal plan.
Not only that, the C-store is getting bare.
Getting quite bare, folks.
Famine is hitting the C-store.
This is the time when they start packing things up. By Friday, there won't be anything left. So
yes.
What I suggest is if you have comfort food, if you have a certain item that you need to get you through setting, if you just need to get a bunch of Red Bull, today is the day, this week is the day to stock up. Because by Wednesday, folks, there will be nothing left and they will not restock for the summer.
Luckily for me, there's still some kombucha, there's still some hummus cups.
You know.
Why does no one like the things that I like?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, because, Greg, you're weird. No, Greg, you just have a very exotic taste that, luckily for you, benefits you. And
yeah.
For us, we just have to be stuck with eating and also all enjoying things like zebra cakes and crackers with cheese. And unfortunately, everybody likes those. So, again, another big thing that isn't the case during midterms, buy your comfort food, folks. Buy those drinks. Buy those whatever. Even if it's like me where I just get a tub of frosting and a spoon and cry into it and just, why did I decide to go to college? Why did I decide to double major? Why am I in the honors program? Questions we ask ourselves every night at 2 in the morning on finals week.
Okay, so we got food as a de-stressor.
Food as a de-stressor.
I want to throw one out there.
Yes.
Yoga.
Yoga is a wonderful de-stressor, yes.
Yeah.
I am not big on exercising, folks. I don't like my body pouring liquids, especially from my face and or armpits.
Just a fear you have.
It's a deathly fear, but my doctor says that if I don't overcome my fear, I will die. So,
Well, it won't everyone.
Well, won't everyone. So, but as somebody who does not like sweating or moving or having his heartbeat faster than possible, definitely yoga is where it's at. There's all types of yoga. I mean,
let's narrow it down. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Rollins has an amazing yoga program. And most of the yoga professors I've ever talked to are more than willing to have you sit in, especially during finals weekend and finals week, to just come in into the class, relax, and just spend that hour to de-stress. A lot of times when you're writing a paper or when you're studying, you hit a block. And while it is easier to grab that wonderful, wonderful Snickers bar, sometimes it's best for you to just walk, get some fresh air, go to the gym, and stretch it out for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I definitely experienced that as well, where I was more than welcomed into a credit class. But there's also the free, open to faculty, staff, and student course, not course, just class, that is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7. That's a great one. Bookending that are, I think Zumba is afterwards. There's something else before it. So
there's also Pilates. There also is that.
I think Pilates is before it. Yeah.
And the best way to check it out is if you actually go into the gym near the on where the I want to say dance studio, but like the
that's sort of what it is.
It's kind of like a dance studio.
It's by the Darrell's Fitness Center.
Yes. Just
the
go inside.
Room.
Go inside. Next to the actual door, there's a schedule of all the things that are going on. All the yoga and Pilates and Zumba. Definitely, if chowing down isn't your thing, definitely go and just stretch. Also, another little tidbit, which is actually kind of a mother's remedy of mine. One of the things that I kind of, something my mom told me to do, and I love it, and actually it really much works. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling like you just can't do it, take a hot shower. Take a nice, warm, relaxing shower. It's a great 20, 25 minutes to just relax, have your own time, just to get into your own zen place. And it promotes basic hygiene, folks. And trust me, hygiene is something that usually is forgotten during finals week.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, the times that I'll share, the library is 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just gotta take a nap in the pillow room, take a nap in one of those private study rooms. You end up spending the night there. You get up. The library, they don't have a shower yet.
They don't have a shower. They have everything else, folks. They have computers. They have books.
Pillows.
They even sell food most times during the day. But
right.
what they do not have is showers in the bathroom. And once they have that, folks, well, I honestly believe some people would never leave. Honestly.
Yeah.
But yes. Showers, that is my personal remedy to kind of relax and get into some alone time. TV, while it is very alluring and wonderful, will distract you, and if you are like me when it comes to Law and Order, you will not stop watching, because Mariska Hargitay is so cool, and you just enjoy all of the wonder that is Law and Order SVU. One final overarching thing is relax. I think this is some of the general theme of this, but...
Right.
It's an important thing to note. Whatever your method is, whatever you do, whether it's being with friends while you study to kind of make you laugh and giggle while you're looking through 100 pages of bio notes, or if it's literally just making sure you have your wonderful stuffed animal Duffy that you've had since you were in the fourth grade, whatever helps you get through finals.
Pretty specific there.
Well, I have a few friends who enjoy Duffy's. Leave me alone. Come at me, Greg. Do it. Because in the end, finals, while they are difficult, they are not the end-all, be-all. And the biggest thing about them is you can't succeed at finals if you're stressed, if you're freaked out, and if you're anxious. You're always going to choke. So definitely do what you have to do to get into your place of zen, a place to relax, in a place to just study in the best way possible. And folks, that's it. That is finals.
Yeah, good luck on them.
Good luck. I have faith in you. Know that I will be taking them, and Greg won't because he graduated or whatever that means.
Yeah, we'll get into that
later.
Which
we will get into.
Yeah.
Yes.
Different set of problems, folks.
More money, more problems, or,
less,
you know, whatever.
Less classes, more...
Less classes.
I don't know.
You know.
Well, all right, golden. We're going to hit up some new music right now from Estudiando a Bossa, and we will see you after this.
Vagabadia dirá que o rio Copacabana mete um arrepio. Vagabadia dirá, vá botar o crédito cartório para se tostar.
Vagabadi, vagabatô, machiqui. Vagabadi, vagabatô, machiqui.
Vagabadia de sol no fogaréu, Marivanema apareceu no céu. Vagabadia no peito do tom, arpoador tem que deixar o medão bom. Ainda não me refiz de ter perdido a Elis,
Maísa, Dolores, Leila, Diniz.
Por isso na Lapa boêmia se diz que na canção do país
nunca a tristeza foi tão feliz.
Vagabadia dirá que o rio Copacabana mete um arrepio. Vagabadia dirá, vá botar o crédito cartório para se tostar.
Vagabadia
de sol fogaréu, Paripanema parecer o céu.
Vagabadia no peito do tom, tom. Arruador tem que deixar o leblon bom. Sob a janela Jobim
passa um desfile sem fim.
Brigitte, Lolo, Marilu,
Merlin.
Que podem mostrar o pudim pra masturbar o Pasquim.
O Roberto leva na Playboy pra mim.
Panabadi, panabatu, Pasquim, panabadi, panabatu.
Bagabadia dirá que o rio Copacabana mete um arrepio.
Bagabadia dirá pra votar o crédito cartório para se tostar.
Badabadi, badabatu, masqui. Badabadi, badabatu, masqui.
Bagabadia de sol no fogaréu, Maripanema apareceu no céu.
Badabadia no peito do tom, a dor tem que deixar o leitão bom.
Badabadi, badabatum, basquito. Badabadi, badabatum, basquito.
Badabadi, badabatum, basquito.
Badabadi, badabatum.
And that was Tom Zay with Rio Arrepio.
You know, Greg, that music reminds me of a segment that we had mentioned earlier.
What segment be that?
You said something about trips to far off lands.
Trips to far off lands.
Yeah, could you maybe inform me a little bit about those trips, those shenanigans, those fun times off at wonderful exotic locations?
Wonderful exotic locations and stuff like that. Well, let me say that at least one such trip is going on this summer, and that is to the Dominican Republic. There is an annual service trip based mostly around water treatment and water filtration and other service projects that involve construction and renovation and things that will help out the local community that doesn't often get happen. That doesn't always happen on a regular basis. And so the purpose of this and some other trips that have gone on sponsored by the college are to improve some of those things that people consider fundamental rights, clean water, and trying to improve that area for those who live there.
I think that's really cool. I think these trips are kind of very much bringing into what this college is all about. It's all about getting new experiences, having students see the world through different lenses. We very much talk about our, I guess, privilege. That's kind of very much the quoted word throughout, you know, kind of breaking past those walls, those barriers, and understanding how the world works outside of this lovely campus, mind you, but sometimes constricting.
Bubbly.
Some have said even country club.
Yes.
But I don't
know. Those words have been spoken.
But hey, I do not see any golf clubs.
Or polo sticks.
Polo sticks. I might see polo shirts, but no polo sticks.
You're right.
Nah. But that's
Tops
wonderful.
Too.
That's wonderful. I think that any students who can get involved with things like that, I mean, it'll be a truly beneficial experience, and I'm guessing you gained so much from your times, and you're going back. So that must be what kind of, you know, I mean, you, what kind of has brought you back kind of to go one more time?
It's a great experience, but beyond that cliche, let's get into some specifics.
Yes. Go into those specifics.
Specifically to the program that Dr. Bernal has taken students on for, I think, 16 or 17 years at this point.
Wow.
Part of what's so positive about it is being able to get really close with a particular family who routinely feeds us and occasionally houses us. And so getting to really spend a lot of good time with them, try to converse in some Spanish, not my strong suit, but trying is always the best. And seeing what their daily life is like and being able to just sit inside in a house with a tin roof and listen to the rain and have that be, you know, what you're doing for that hour instead of having to really busy yourself with this and that, all that we fill our days with here. That's really just such a different experience, being able to let go like that, and then also to be able to work on these different projects and be able to help test people's water and help to educate them on different hygienic procedures. That I feel like can only help things get better there in terms of the water that they drink and those types of health standards that are life-saving in a lot of ways.
No, very much so. I think that that's being able to make a difference and give back mm-hmm. are key. And the great thing is that with trips like this, you know, it's more than just, you know, giving like $5 to the Salvation Army, or, you know, you really do see the change that you make, and it really brings it home, and it really makes mm-hmm. it more impactful to yourself, and it really shows you, wow, like one little thing can truly make a difference in these children and these people's lives.
Sure. And going back to the whole global citizen thing, you know, getting out there and seeing not only what's in the best or the most developed European cities, as people will often go to in their study abroad trips, but also seeing what it's like in our own hemisphere, south of us, to the east, as those islands are.
To the west, you know, and northwest.
West,
no?
North.
Those like north, that's probably
Canada.
Wrong. Canada.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
Canada.
Out there.
Canada.
Yeah. So.
So that's wonderful.
It's a good time. And the trip has been slightly different each time. The first time I went, it was just two students. And the assistant dean at the time, Professor Don Davidson.
Don Davidson, what?
Yeah, and Dr. Bernal. So it was the four of us, and that was a time where we were able to go out and check out these different projects that we were able to dabble, work a little bit here and there. And then the next trip, it was seven students, and that was immediately after I graduated. That summer, went out there and was able to do mostly water work that time, a little bit of construction. And then this time, I think it's going to be more construction-oriented. We're looking at a few sort of public daycare centers, I guess is the equivalent, that are run by some church-affiliated programs down there. And so being able to go there and help build some playground equipment, I think, is part of the goal, and then just to do some upkeep with painting and different things that we can help out with around the building will be the goal this time. So each time it's been different, so that's cool. And just also just getting to know the people on the trip is another really fun, positive aspect. You really don't get thrown into a situation like that where you're spending 16 hours a day with people you just met for 2 weeks.
Right.
So,
pretty much. Yeah. You tend to learn about people.
Yeah.
After you spend so much time with them.
You need those, like, social survival skills, too. Not just ones for your environment.
Are you missing Lost? Like, I'm missing Lost. I'm missing Lost, too. I can't believe it.
Missing Lost.
Lost, like the TV show.
Why?
Well, because
didn't it end?
I know it ended, but it's like, you know, that's something you could bond about. I miss Lost because they can't.
Oh, miss it.
Yeah, you miss it because you can't, like, watch it, because I don't think they have Netflix or the internet.
Well, it's over. That was a bizarre example.
Fine. I'm missing Parenthood. Are you missing? Nobody misses Parenthood. Nobody cares about Parenthood. I'm sorry, anybody at NBC or Viacom who really loves Parenthood, but it's a fabulous show. But
didn't I see something about, maybe I'm making this up, I could have swore I saw, like, some sidebar linked to article about, like, trying to bring Lost back.
That probably could be a thing.
Not important, though.
Not important.
Not a story.
Not a story. I'm just, I mean, it's a This example just came into a tangent, so why don't we move on? And
let's move on.
Let us say that, yes, I will comment. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you guys are doing, and I definitely
hope that it is
a wonderful, wonderful trip.
Thank you.
Now. Let us talk about... I am so sorry. Something stuck in my throat. What would you like to talk about next, Greg? We have two final topics to discuss today.
Two final topics. Okay. One final topic, which I feel like we should tackle first, is Rowan's status as Barstool U's 10 most underrated party schools in America.
Yes. I love their description of Rowan's College. Yes. Actually, I don't have it up. I don't have it up right now. Could you read it?
So prepared. Okay.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with being a school where students... Oh, wait. Is that...
Top underrated party schools.
Yeah. Is this quoted part?
It's the part under the...
Those were incorrect words.
Okay.
I'm sorry, folks at home.
I have it. I believe I have it. I hope I have it, because then this would just be awkward. Okay. Yes. Okay. So this is a quote.
Yeah.
From Barstool U, Rollins College, number 4 of the top 10 underrated party schools. A buddy once told me, Rollins is a great party school if you like blow. After some hard-hitting investigative journalism, Barstool U can confirm that Rollins is a great party school. And they don't call it Winter Park for nothing. Basically just a country club next to a lake with smokes hanging out by the pool all the time. Got cash? Want to spend 4 years partying your derriere? I had to censor that.
Yes.
Off with some of the hottest, richest girls in the country? Go hang at Rollins. Now, right there, there are some qualms. I had some qualms on this this little description.
Speak your qualms.
Okay, well, one of them being, you know, yes, we do have some fine, very attractive women at the school, but let's not forget about the very built and equally attractive men at this campus. I mean, come on, folks.
Why not?
Come on.
Well, this sounds like a male.
Regardless, Greg. I'm just saying that. Hey, we got some class acts in the studio at the moment. Got some pretty.
Oh yeah.
You know me, working at that gym 5 days a week.
Yeah, like you said earlier.
Although I hate sweat and my heartbeat raise.
Yes.
Yeah, I look pretty fine. But it's fucking look. We have talked about not us personally, but people have talked about Rollins in this capacity all the time. I did an article about it last year where we have two very important yet divergent opinions. One, Rollins is this quote Harvard of the South. We do have an amazing business program, MBA program, and this school just has, you know, amazing academics, amazing community, especially over the last year, amazing community engagement. You know, it is a school to go to learn to, you know, academia at its brightest. As well, on the other side, Rollins, especially Rollins kids, are seen as, you know, partiers, party animals.
Yeah.
Belushi times 100, almost.
Or as Dr. Nordstrom put it, their motto, Fiat Knox.
What? But, I mean, like, can you blame us? Can you blame us proximity-wise? We are like a stone's throw away from downtown Orlando. And it's very interesting that you compare. If you compare UCF, which is 30 minutes the other direction,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have their... They're big on house parties. They have their big house parties. They have their big Greek organizations, like legit mansions. They have a sorority row, fraternity row, Greek life. And they have... That's their big shtick. For us at Rollins, we kind of just all get gussied up and go downtown every weekend. Some people multiple times during the week. And I mean, like, yes, that tends to happen. That tends to be indicative of you know, student populace. But I guess the biggest thing is this so bad? Is it so bad to be such an underrated party school?
Well, what are the other schools on that list? Who beat us?
Top three. Let us compare who is on the list, first of all, before we get to the top three. We have some amazing universities on this list. We got Tulane.
Okay.
As number 10. Georgia Southern at number 9.
Isn't that online? They have online programs.
They have programs. But, yeah, no, they're a real thing. Georgia Southern is a real thing. 8 is Miami U. We beat out Miami. Woot, woot. Quinnipiac?
Sure.
Q-U-I-N-N-I-P-I-A-C.
Right.
Marquette.
Yeah. Interesting.
Right. Colorado State.
See, these are colleges that I would think would be underrated. Miami, who doesn't think that that would be a party school?
Right. But we are an underrated party school.
Right.
Well. And obviously Rollins is number 4. And here are the top three, the three universities or colleges that beat us out. East Carolina.
The Pirates.
Sunny Oswego.
SUNY
Oswego. Sorry.
It's S-U-N-Y?
S-U-N-Y.
Okay. So New York.
Okay. Cool. S-U-N-Y. That definitely thought it was sunny, but I forgot the other end. And finally, a school that I have never heard of, but probably you have, ESU, or East Stroudsburg University.
I haven't.
They're known as the Warriors.
And where are they?
I'm going to ESU, East Stroudsburg. East Stroudsburg University is located in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
The mascot is, as mentioned, the Warriors. Colors are black and red.
Yeah, that's what I would think would be, you know, underrated place. I think that Miami and even us to a certain extent are not very fitting on that list.
No.
When in, I think, your freshman year or maybe just before your freshman year, we were on Playboy's top party school list.
And we've actually made Playboy's party list many times.
Yeah.
We've made College Prowler has hit us up on top 10 lists.
Yeah, what was that, like, grid that came out?
Yes, recently there was a grid. There was a grid where it kind of ranks
academics
versus partying. And we actually are on the top 25th percent quartile where we are.
Quartile, good word.
Yes, where we not only party hardy, but we study hard. So, folks.
We study hardy.
Bringing it all together. Yes, you can have fun during finals.
Uh-huh.
You can get crazy and you can party as long as you study. Let's maintain being on the 25th quartile, 25th percent quartile.
Yeah.
Let's do this, folks. So, yes. I don't know. I think that obviously student populace shouldn't be judged by the way they get cray. But, you know, as long as they do the work as well.
And get credit. Class credit, that is.
This is my friend,
no
Greg Golden. No comment. Yes, folks. Sometimes it's fun to party, and you can party. You can have a good time, so, you know, can't complain. Well, folks, we're going to have one more music break. And
yeah.
I have a song that's quite fitting. That kind of relates to this topic of partying all the time.
Oh, yeah?
From the musician, well, more like the comedian who had one actually very successful single back in the day.
Is it Rappin' Rodney?
No. Close. It's Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time.
There we go. So segueing into our last segment, going from partying to that sobering time when you graduate, and the party days are coming to a slow halt.
Well, and that general understanding that your alcoholism in college, which you didn't consider alcoholism because it was college, is now alcoholism post-college.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I mean, that's what the people at AA tell me. Jokes, because I'm not 21. Just digging a hole, folks, digging a hole. No, but again, you know, I am nearing that phase in my life, but I'm luckily in the studio we have somebody who has moved on, has gone past these sacred four walls.
Oh, right.
And yes, I'm talking to you, big fella. And can kind of give some wise words and kind of talk about
so
his
wise.
Life.
Yeah.
So Greg, as you've mentioned before, you are a post-grad. You graduated 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us about what your major was, kind of how those first months, how was that first summer, as everybody likes to say, is a wonderful summer, but then kind of realizing I am in the quote-unquote real world now.
Sure. So I was an English major, and I graduated with honors in the major, having done an honors thesis, and I was a writing minor, and I, you know, worked for the Sandspur, DJed a show here on WPRK, and thought I got involved to the point that, hey, this is a fine-looking resume here that I've typed up. And then so I sent out to a number of jobs that looked sort of related, copy editing, sort of things like that, that involved what I actually studied. And unfortunately, and this is the case with a few of my compatriots, just no response. Give me a rejection at least, said I. But even then, I don't know, it's like the job market was so squeezed that, you know, overqualified people were getting whatever job was out there. And so that was not very positive. And then eventually, about a couple months into my graduation,
post-grad
there we
life.
Go. Uh-huh. I started working for Full Sail, freelance writing some alumni profiles for their website. They'll go out and assign stories about people who are now working in Hollywood and the like.
Did you ever go to Hollywood and visit these men?
No.
Darn.
Visited with them on the phone.
Darn.
And people who are working for Google tangentially and stuff like that.
Very fun.
So it was okay. Well, and then
it's a job. It's a
yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of just having a job, I went and got a job as a temp employee.
Yes, like Ryan from The Office.
Oh yeah.
He was a temp.
Oh.
Because in I don't know. Do you watch The Office? Have you ever
not
seen?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Well, then
not
the
too
joke
much.
Means nothing
but
to you. Okay, then go back to your story.
Or
I
fact.
Apologize.
So, working in a mailroom, ironically, we were watching, like, a lot of TV in there. Not The Office, per se, but, you know, that was one thing just to get some dollars in the pockets, you know?
Go to the thrift shop, maybe later. Sorry. I got all the jokes. I
just
can't.
Get by. And, you know, that was an experience. I'm not saying it wasn't negative. You know, it was something to do, get out of the house sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I branched out and started my own company with a couple friends.
Yeah, you did.
That was called Green Gazelle Marketing.
Woot woot.
And we started doing some social media marketing for some local businesses.
Help some schools.
Yes. I'm forgetting. Well,
you
we
have
were
a school. I mean. You
right.
mentioned that.
We were close to working with a high school on sort of coming in and teaching the students some internet etiquette and stuff like that, ways in which they could use social media in positive ways. And the goal there was to also get them to start accounts about their football team and their different clubs to get some more community involvement, hopefully, in what's going on at the school. That was the goal, and we had some plans to roll that plan out to a few schools, but just didn't get the ball rolling. We're working on, I think, we're going in a few too many directions to really focus on one. Whatever. There's a lot of things I could have done differently and that I would have, but ultimately wasn't incredibly passionate about that, and so I think that's the biggest reason why I didn't end up hanging with that biz. But I think it's worthwhile to think about the ways in which you can hire yourself, because that's what I was thinking. If no one's going to hire me, why don't I hire me?
Exactly. And I think also this your story already just talks about the ever-apparent truth, and yet sometimes we forget. Post-grad, you go through a lot of careers, a lot of jobs, and that's totally normal and it's totally fine, because that's the point of post-grad exploration.
Yeah. No, not knocking what I went through. I would encourage anyone just to, you know, start hitting the grindstone, as it were. I think I'm mixing metaphors.
You know, it's all the same. It's all the same.
Right.
So how did you get to, really sitting across from me at this table?
Good question. Well, I met up with my advisor and thesis chair from college, Dr. Russell, who I also helped get involved with the SANSPER as their faculty advisor, and was having lunch with her, and she was saying that the SANSPER was going to be hiring a general manager outside of the student body, someone to come in and be sort of an advisor to the students, really shore up and solidify some of the business elements of the newspaper that were sort of being left by the wayside. And so I thought that was interesting. And being a quick thinker, later that night, I thought, hey, I could be that person.
I definitely have the experience, so why not?
Sure. So I sent her an email, and she had said, well, I think we're looking for someone with professional experience. You know, you had this work as an undergrad, but, you know, I'll put your name forth. And she did just that, and I ended up getting interviewed and hired.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been here since the end of September, beginning of October.
And it's been wonderful. It's been
Why, thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, it's always
It's been
good.
Wonderful for me, too.
Well, it's been wonderful for all of us. I think Craig was my managing editor my freshman year. And the great thing is that even post his graduation, we've been able to maintain our friendship and been able to still find each other doing the same thing, whether it's either doing the Sans for or this wonderful radio show. And it's very cool. It's definitely very cool to have people who have graduated kind of come back and not only relive experiences with their former peers, but also teach the new generation, the new first years and freshmen, to kind of be like, you know, this is what we did, kind of mixing the new and the old and kind of still bringing an amazing product. And I think that that's what the Sans Pro was able to achieve with your help in collaboration with, you know, a lot of the new staff members that we have.
Right. And that's going to be one of the biggest things going forward, not only sort of keeping the tradition and keeping certain things that should be remaining the same, but also showing them these are the ways in which you can innovate and these are the ways in which you can put your own mark on this product and change things for the better and bring your strengths to what we want to produce. So I think all good things for the future of the Sans Bur.
I love it. And folks, as you probably can guess when you're checking your clock, like, why are these crazy kids still talking? Well, yes, we're quite aware why we are still talking. We are about to end. We're about to end the show. It's very sad. I'm going to miss you. Especially you. No, you.
Mm-hmm.
You and the Paisley. Our wrap-up end-of-the-semester show is next Monday.
Yes.
We have, we somewhat teased it last week. We decided to push it one more to make it more applicable. We have a special retrospective planned for
A retiring professor,
very illustrious career at this institute. Done. Guess who? We can't wait. We'll talk, obviously, more about it on Monday. And we have a lot to look forward to. And as we mentioned, be safe, study for those exams, and we'll see you on the other side.
Precisely what I was thinking. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week.
I'm Amir Sadeh.
And I'm Greg Golden.
And this is the Sans Bur Hour.
See ya.